as we get more and more acquainted with his love, we're going to become more and more used by him to crush the devil under our feet.
God promises in Joel 2:28 to pour out his spirit on all humanity. Welcome to Global Outpouring, where we contend for that promise outpouring, we equip for that outpouring, so that we may engage in that very outpouring. I'm Philip Buss.
And I'm Sharon Buss. Welcome to the podcast today. We're so glad that you're with us. We're going to talk today about the word crushed. There are all kinds of crushings in life. We all go through crushings. But there's also a crushing that is taking place even now as the Lord is crushing Satan under your feet. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're just delighted that we can be together and have a discussion of the things of God that are going to help you grow where you need to be encouraged and you need to be strengthened. These are days when we are learning how to apply the Word of God into our lives so that He can bring change in our lives and make us more like Him. And before we get started on this podcast, we want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, that you would go to our website, globaloutpouring.net, and make sure that you're on our email list so that we can stay in touch with you and that you can continue to be blessed by other things that we have to offer you besides this podcast. And you can also see the events that are about to take place. We are just days away from our convention 2025. And if you haven't already made plans to be there, we encourage you to go to that information on our website and find out all the details about May 21st through 24th at the St. Louis Airport Marriott and who's speaking. And it's just going to be a glorious time in the presence of the Lord. And all the things that will help you grow are going to be there on steroids, so to speak. And so we just encourage you to get there if you possibly can. If you can't, you'll get some of it over our live stream on YouTube or in the archives. It'll be there. It's just not the same as being in the room, though. So if you can possibly get there, please get there. We've got something for all the family, and we trust that you will be blessed by it and your family members will be too. Come and bring a friend. So today we're talking about a very important subject, and it has to do with crushing. Have you ever been crushed?
Oh, yes.
Stuff happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But the thing that I started out with and I was meditating on this morning came from Romans 16:20. And it says, and the God of peace, that would be Jehovah Shalom or Yehovah Shalom, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So that's the ending of the book of Romans. Paul is signing off there. But what a sign-off.
Yeah, the tremendous sign-off. Tremendous takeaway.
Yeah, that's a takeaway for sure. And I love the fact that this crushing of Satan under your feet is going with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Because in that crushing gives you, oh my, what grace we even get from the Lord to do crushings. And so as I was meditating on that scripture, I was reminded of the Garden of Eden and what happened in the Garden of Eden with the woman and the snake. I remember how the serpent was tempting her and getting her to doubt.
And this, according to Dean Braxton, who went to heaven, this wasn't a one-time thing.
Right.
He says this is what had been going on for a while.
Yeah.
So
every now and then he'd be putting this thought into her head, you know, wouldn't you like to be as wise as God? You eat that fruit, it'll make you wise. You'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. So what happened, you know, after they ate the fruit and, you know, there was this blame shifting where Adam said, well, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me to eat. And the woman says, well, it was the snake. It was the serpent. He beguiled me and I ate it. And it's interesting what God says to the snake. And I'm just going to look at it in the Amplified.
Amplified, yeah.
In the Amplified Classic. In Genesis 3, 14 and 15, God is speaking to the serpent. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all. Now, the Amplified Classic puts in the word domestic. Above all domestic animals and above every wild living thing in the field. Upon your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust and what it contains all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise and tread your head underfoot, and you will lie in wait and bruise his heel. Now, that is obviously a prophecy about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus would come, he would be born of a virgin. So there's no man's seed involved. Mm-hmm. It's only the woman's seed. It was just her egg. There's no sperm. The Holy Spirit just overshadowed her and provided what needed to be provided. You know, there had to be a Y chromosome to make him a male because she could only give an X chromosome. And somehow or other, there had to be the blood connection. So you can tell from the Shroud of Turin, that which I'm becoming more and more convinced is really Jesus' burial shroud, that the man who was buried in that shroud had AB positive blood, which means an AB positive person can take a blood transfusion from anybody on the planet.
That's amazing.
He's the universal recipient.
Wow.
And that means he would be able to take the blood curses from everybody on the planet, whether you have O negative blood or A blood or negative or positive, any of the combinations, he was able to handle it. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. But it says here that he would tread the serpent's head underfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's crushing.
Yeah.
Absolute crushing. And you will lie in wait and bruise his heel. Well, it's also interesting to note from the Shroud of Turin, I think this is true. I'll qualify this that I think it's true. I know that it's true that they have found remains of people who have been crucified and the spike, the nail, was driven through the heel. You know, some years ago already they had in Biblical Archaeology Review, they were showing a heel bone with a Roman spike through it.
Wow.
And so I'm presuming that this was also the case with Jesus. I don't remember whether the shroud shows that or not for sure. But, you know, we know that the Romans did that. So
they were brutal.
Oh, absolutely brutal. Totally brutal. And totally, totally moved by the devil. So the serpent was told that he would go on his belly. Imagine a dragon with no legs. And what do you have? What would a dragon with no legs look
yeah.
like? It would go on its belly,
on
wouldn't
its
it?
On its belly, yeah.
So I think we have a connection there. Because in Revelation chapter 12,
yes. Okay.
You have this description of what goes on or what went on. I think it must be a look backwards in Revelation. This great sign in heaven with the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And she was pregnant and cried out in her birth pangs. And then there was this fiery red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And his tail swept across the sky, dragged a third of the stars. Well, you know, we know that that is the only scripture that we have that talks about how the devil took away one third of the beings of heaven with him when he fell.
Uh-huh.
So okay. that's the scripture where we have this. And then it says that the dragon stationed himself in front of the woman who was about to be delivered so that he might devour her child as soon as she brought it forth. So what happened when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king?
Mm-hmm.
What happened when the wise men came, the magi, and they came and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, Herod was wicked.
Yeah.
And very jealous. He was so jealous that he had his own offspring killed because he was afraid they were going to try and take over the throne.
Wow.
And I mean, he was wicked.
Yeah.
So somebody comes along and says, King of the Jews, I'm the King of the Jews. and so he pretends, oh, you just go and find him and let me know and I'll come and worship him too.
Yeah.
Just like a snake. And so
what happened? He killed from 2 years old and under.
Exactly.
In Bethlehem.
Exactly. And so he's absolutely ready to devour babies anytime he gets an opportunity, because really it's the seed, it's the offspring. You know, Adam named Eve, in Hebrew, I think it's Chava, and it comes from the word that means to live. So Adam was saying, you're the mother of all living.
Okay.
So every living person is descended from Eve, and everybody but Jesus was descended from Adam too. But Jesus had a different father. So anyway, you know, the point is that he's after babies. And he did the same thing in Pharaoh's court, you know, in mm-hmm. Egypt, when the children of Israel were slaves, and he saw that they were becoming a great nation. And what if they turn against us? Let's kill all the babies, all the boy babies. You can save the girl babies alive and we'll make them wives and slaves and so on. But let's kill the boy babies. So the same thing happened just before the Exodus, when God released Israel from captivity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these slaughters of babies and what we've got even currently with the abortion issue, it really hasn't been fully dealt with yet. We've had some tremendous victories lately with the overthrow of Roe v. Wade, but, you know, there's still stuff going on the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to contend. We need to continue to contend with this abortion issue, because the enemy is getting strength by killing babies.
Yeah.
He likes to devour that kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember Henry Gruber, when he said he would walk down a street, he would hear the blood of aborted babies crying out in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
He could hear that in the spirit.
Yes.
Because in Genesis says the life is in the blood. Your spirit life is nefesh,
mm-hmm.
the Hebrew. Your
mm-hmm.
spirit is in the blood.
Yes.
I thought, oh my.
It's true.
So he knew there was an abortion clinic there.
Yeah. Yeah, he could tell it was nearby.
It's life.
Mm-hmm. And so we still need to be dealing with these things and overcoming
mm-hmm.
and binding these strong men. I'm reminded, too, of 1 John 3:8, that it says, he that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. The beginning. Remember, in the beginning?
Mm-hmm. From the beginning.
Well, there was eternity before the beginning. So we have a different idea of beginning than what God's idea of the beginning is. It's from the beginning of time. There was eternity before time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get that clear in our heads, that he always has been God before the devil ever fell. But the beginning of time was when the devil fell. And that's why you wound up with this chaos and darkness. There was no darkness before the devil fell. All the light was yanked out of him and everybody that fell with him. That's why we have a dark universe, because, you know, there's no darkness in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then because there's no darkness in God. He's the Father of Lights.
Father of Lights, yeah.
So it says that the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Evil one, the devil.
Yeah,
yes.
The devil, our adversary, mm-hmm. the one who hates us because he hates God. He hates the offspring of the woman, and that's why he's trying to kill us all the time. After us. But the beautiful thing is, God is going to crush Satan shortly under our feet. He crushed the head of the devil on the cross. And and remember what it says in, we've talked about this before, but it bears repeating, in Isaiah 52, the very last few verses, right, you know, right before Isaiah 53, that really, really shows us who Jesus is and what he came for, to deliver us from our sins and our griefs and our weaknesses and our sicknesses. It says, I don't know that I've ever read it out of the Amplified before.
So you're hearing this firsthand.
Yeah. So verse 13 says, Behold, my servant shall deal wisely and shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and shall stand very high. The servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the Son of Man. But just as many were astonished at him, so shall he startle and sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider and understand. And I believe that when Jesus was being crucified, all of the demons and the devils and fallen creation were rejoicing with glee that they have beat the system. They've beat out the king. They're killing the king, so they get to take over and, you know, be in charge. But what they didn't realize until they're looking at him, and it says that they were astonished at him. And it says, so shall he startle and sprinkle many nations. And that word sprinkle is the same in Hebrew as the word where it talks about sprinkling, when Moses would sprinkle the blood on the tabernacle, all the furnishings, and he sprinkled it on the people, and he sprinkled it on the book.
On the ark.
Yeah. On the ark. And yeah. Everything had the sprinkling of blood on it. And Dean Braxton says that when he was in heaven, he saw Jesus on the cross. And every time his heart would beat, because he'd been so lacerated, there were places on his body that the arteries had been pierced just enough that every time his heart would beat, it would send out a mist. And he was sprinkling the nations.
Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom.
Sprinkling, sprinkling, sprinkling. Spraying a mist that we could all come under and be forgiven of our sins. And it was like, uh-oh, all of a sudden they could see, what does it say? Is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians where it says, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know. They didn't know. And here it is. What they've not heard shall they consider and understand. They knew they were in trouble.
You know, it's amazing because, you know, the devil knows the scripture.
Right.
Yeah.
But he doesn't understand everything.
But he doesn't have the wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because that's there.
Yeah.
That is all in there.
Yeah.
You know, because even when Satan appeared to Jesus before his ministry, remember,
yeah.
he took him to the pinnacle of the temple.
Yeah.
All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.
Yeah.
You know, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so he knew the scripture, you know, like, you know, the angels will pick you up if you cast your foot against a stone.
Right.
You know, so the devil knows scripture.
Yeah, he does.
But he did not have the understanding of this. That was hidden from him.
Yeah. Yeah. There are things that are still hidden from him that God's going to roll out. And he's just in trouble. And I think the same thing really happened in the garden. I think when God said to him that I'll put enmity or hostility or make you actively opposed to this woman and her seed, and your seed, your offspring and her offspring, that God took the devil's plan. The devil was really trying to just ruin things. Everything was perfect then.
Yeah.
The garden was perfect. The people were perfect. Everybody was perfect. And he wanted to sow a seed of imperfection. He wanted to throw the whole thing into chaos again. God took the devil's plan and turned it on him then, because it would be the offspring of the one he deceived who would bring his demise.
Yeah.
That's Romans 8:28. You know, all things work together for good.
Yeah.
God knows how to take all the bad stuff and turn it into good.
Mm-hmm.
The crushings, right?
Yeah.
There are crushings that we go through that God is going to turn to good. So going on, I think we can look at Hebrews 2:14-15. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, this is Jesus, likewise took part of the same. Jesus was the seed of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
He was fully human, but he was also fully God. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I mean, that's the main bondage in life, is a fear of death.
Fear of death.
You know, yeah. People, even godly people. I've known some godly people who were afraid to die. And how does that keep us from taking a risk to obey God when it looks like it's dangerous?
Mm-hmm. Especially going on a mission field somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've gone to some dangerous places. And you have to deal with your own mortality and say, I am already dead. And yeah. My life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah, the nearest road by you can, yeah. Your fear of dying, you know, by going out on a road.
Yeah. Yeah, some people stay home because they're afraid to go out.
I had an aunt that she had varicose veins taken out.
Oh, I remember.
And while she was, a shower or something, and all of a sudden it popped open, and she mm-hmm. started, just blood started bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared her so much, she made herself bedridden. That was the last time really yep. she walked.
Yeah.
And she went to the grave that way.
Yeah.
You know, fear of death over something like that.
Yep.
And what
a wasted life.
Yeah, what a waste of life.
Yeah.
You can't let a circumstance stop you from serving God.
Right.
Or the fear of it.
Right.
Yeah, it's like stuff I've had to deal with since the wreck, you know, balance mm-hmm. issues and
yeah.
getting sick easy and things like that. You know, and I've had my challenges.
Yes, you have.
I have.
And you have overcome.
And I've
watched you overcome again and again. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, it's kind of like our pastor's son, when he was sick, you know, he says, oh, thank you, Jesus. he was just overcoming. Praise God in all things. You know, I had a hard time doing that on that road in India.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I littered the highway for miles, and I wasn't rejoicing.
No, but you did overcome in the end.
In the end, but I felt like I was going to die, you know. But I'm still here.
Yep.
I've been many places since.
That's right. That's right. So isn't it wonderful that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil?
Oh, yes.
And I love what it says in Isaiah 25, 7 to 12. It says, he will destroy on this mountain. And this is the Temple Mount he's talking about. Mm-hmm. The Temple Mount. He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people. And the veil that is spread over all nations, he will swallow up death forever.
Yes.
And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Now, just to give you a little clarity about this mountain, it's not only talking about where the temple was. It's also talking about the entire mount.
Mm-hmm. Mount Moriah.
Mount Moriah. Okay, Mount Moriah is the place where Abraham took his son, bound him, and was ready to plunge in the knife when God said, okay, wait, that's enough. You've passed the test. You don't have to kill him.
Yeah, and that's where the Dome of the Rock is on the Temple Mount. You know, that golden dome, which is actually a shrine. It's not a mosque. It's a shrine.
Right.
And I remember the days we would go underneath there, and they had the rock where they say, well, he was going to sacrifice Isaac.
Yeah, that's where they think that it was.
That's where they think it was.
I don't know that that's true.
It's a big mountain, though, Moriah.
Yeah, right. And so the southern slope of Mount Moriah is the city of David.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an important location. And the top of it, it was Araunah's threshing floor. And when David numbered the people and he chose pestilence, you know, I'll just take the short one because God might be merciful and we'll get it over with. And so the angel stopped there before he hit Jerusalem, I think. Maybe he hit Jerusalem first, but he stopped there on that mount. And the Lord said, that's enough. And he told David
to buy
the threshing floor. And he bought it for full price. And he bought the animals and used the wooden parts, you know, to make the sacrifice. And it stopped the pestilence. It stopped
and
the plague.
It stopped the angel that was standing by with the sword because he saw it.
So and that was then the location that David mm-hmm. understood, this is the place where the temple's to be built.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you go on down the northern slope, when you get to the northern end, well, it's all quarries where they dug out the rock to build the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the area where Jesus was crucified.
Yeah.
And rose from the dead. So put this in the context of the scripture. He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. He was resurrected from that very mountain.
Yes, amen.
Isn't that amazing?
And what's amazing, what is the veil today present that
right.
is over the people?
That is on that mount.
That is on the people of that mount.
Right, right. You the know, women all have to wear
women
a veil.
The women all have to wear a veil. And it says that he will destroy the veil that is over all nations.
That's right.
Now, how many nations are Muslims not in?
Right. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. And there's a circulatory thing going around on Facebook. You know, of all these different nations of the women, you know, the
yes.
beautiful women, what they look like, you know, the prince, the queens, or even everyday dress, what they look like then, what they look like now.
Yeah,
Persia.
Before and after veils.
Before and after veils.
Right.
And it's astounding. Mm-hmm. But this is a natural veil mm-hmm. that is over all the Muslim women.
It's true.
That he says he's going to take this away.
Right. You know,
this will be this, because the veil, when this mighty outpouring comes, the veils are going to go flying.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Kind of like graduation. The hat comes off and it flies. I mean, the power of God's going to come down in such a way in nations that it's just the leaders are going to repent, you know, and there's going to be a freedom and a liberty, you know, and that, so this is like a two-sided thing. It's a spiritual and a natural veil.
Absolutely.
That is in place here.
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe we better get back on track again.
Well, actually, we're on track. We're on track.
Oh, okay.
We're not off track at all. And going on in verse 10, it says, "For on this mountain, the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab shall be trampled
yes.
down
Amen.
Under him." Yeah. Well, who's in control of Moab right now? Islam.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So it's going to be trampled as straw is trampled down for the refuse heap. And he will spread out his hands in their midst as a swimmer reaches out to swim, and he will bring down their pride together with the trickery of their hands. Now, who's the king of pride?
The devil.
Well, yeah, yeah. And there's a creature that might be described like a massive
a Leviathan?
Dinosaur. Yeah, exactly. Leviathan is the king of pride, and I uh-huh. think he's a dragon too. And the fortress of the high fort of your walls he will bring down low and bring to the ground down to the dust. There's a crushing going on here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crushing that Jesus initiated. But remember, he's going to crush Satan under our feet shortly. And the word shortly there, as I understand it in the Greek, can also mean suddenly.
Okay.
Because we think of shortly meaning in a reasonably soon period of time. Well, it's been a long time.
Yeah, behold, I come quickly. You
right.
know,
and it's but
been
it's suddenly.
2000 years.
It's suddenly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. More than quickly. I mean, the actual action is quick.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think that way in English currently. So anyway, it goes on to, like, this is dust. So it's crushed down into the dust, trampled in the dust. So looking at Romans 8 and 35 to 39, do you want to read that, Philip?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
Oh, and I love the 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that's so, such a magnificent
yeah.
scripture. I mean, Paul just, he just so said that so well.
Yeah. And so what Jesus did in his love for us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did all of this so that we could have life. He destroyed the death. He crushed it. And he's still in the process. And we get to participate. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So as we get more and more acquainted with his love, we're going to become more and more used by him to crush the devil under our feet. Amen?
Amen.
So in 2 Corinthians 2:14-17, it says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession." I think there's another in King James, it says, "who always causes us to triumph." I like that
too. Triumph, yeah.
"And through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To some we are an aroma of death leading to death, but to others an aroma of life leading to life. Who is adequate for these things? For we do not market the word of God for profit like so many." I like putting that into a modern way of saying it. We're not marketing the word of God for profit. "On the contrary, we speak with sincerity in Christ as from God and before God." So there's an aroma that comes when we pass from death unto life. Now, you know that there is a smell of death. Right? We were going down the highway yesterday. Was it yesterday? Recently. Anyway, and, you know, something had died and was decomposing near the highway, and it was, it was terrible smell. Okay? So there's a smell of death, and there's a smell of life.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Dean, when he was in heaven and came back to earth, he said, "The whole earth smells of death because everything that is alive is going to die."
Yeah, it's true.
And it just had that smell.
Yeah, we already have death working in us.
Yeah.
Because
what happens when you die, worms eat you up.
Yes, but the thing is that the worms are already there in your body.
They're microbes in your body.
They are microbes, and they morph into this decomposition.
Yeah, as soon as your body hits a point of acidity, then they go to work.
Yep, and that's why a lot of the sickness that comes, that leads to death, is a result of our bodies getting out of balance in the pH.
You know, this is a freebie. When your body starts going real acidic, these things, microbes in your blood that help you, are now trying to morph to take you out.
Yeah, it's their job to.
You won't hear that in your textbooks.
No, not really. But this idea of the smell of death and the smell of life, I found here that it takes 60 whole roses to produce just one drop of essential oil.
Ooh, wow.
And if you want to have a teaspoon of rose oil, it takes 10,000 freshly picked roses.
Wow.
Okay. So I guess it's an old movie or something that I'm thinking of where, you know, there's some kind of a death smell. And the lady takes her handkerchief and puts a drop of perfume into it. So she's breathing her handkerchief so that she doesn't smell the death. We can smell life instead of death. We just need to get ourselves where we're receiving life from the Lord. But these smells come from a crushing. Okay? Mm-hmm. You have to crush those roses to produce that smell.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to get God's perspective of the crushings that we go through. Because the crushings that we go through, if we learn our lessons well, we're going to have something of the character of Christ being built into us as a result. Remember that picture that I had in my, I guess you could call it a vision or a mental picture of, and again, this is probably an old movie or different movies or TV programs where the woman is put into this place where she's in a small, confined place, and this one wall is moving towards her. Getting closer and closer, and it's going to crush her, right? So I have this vision that when we're in those crushing times, what is really happening, we think we're dying. And actually, there's part of us that is. Because the flesh, our fleshly nature needs to die in order for the spirit life to have the preeminence, right? We have to continually submit ourselves to the Lord, continually go down in humility and die to our pride, right? Kill that pride. We have to kill the pride because that's what's killing us, really.
It's easier to let us to kill it ourselves, because if we don't, then God kills it.
Yeah.
has ways of making it.
Yes. If we don't humble ourselves, he has ways of crushing in another way. Yeah, it's true. So in this picture that I had, the wall is getting closer and closer, and it's smushing me and smushing me and smushing me into, but what he's, the wall that's steady and not moving is God. And so when the pressure lets up, we come off with the image of God on us instead of us.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do. That's what he's working in us. It's really a love thing. And we squirm and we howl and we whine and we cry. This hurts. I don't like this. I'm being crushed.
It's like Jesus is trying to get us ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Right.
But we don't want to get married. Yeah, we're trying to run.
Yeah, the bride has to look like him.
Yeah.
The bride is meant to look like him. Adam looked at Eve and said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
Yeah.
She was made out of him. And so we are being made out of Jesus. So we should be looking like him. We should be sounding like him. We should be smelling like him. You know, all of the fleshly things, he's working the process in us. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a few days. It takes a lifetime.
Yeah.
It takes a lifetime.
It's a lifetime.
But the more we let him work, the farther we'll go faster, and by the end of the lifetime, we will be beyond what we would have been if we were fighting against him all the time. So the crushing is good. The crushing is for a good thing. So Ephesians 5:1-2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. So every time we humble ourselves, there's a release of a fragrance that is pleasing to the Lord. I mean, think about it. You think about all these sacrifices that are going on in the temple. Who doesn't like the smell of barbecue? I mean, really. Somebody in the neighborhood is barbecuing and it's like,
especially if you're fasting. You
know? Well, yeah, that's true. And sometimes you can actually just get happy just by smelling it.
Yeah, that's true. I've done that many times on a fast when the people are eating around you. And
Oh, just let me smell
it. Just go up and just take a deep.
Yeah, it helps.
Oh, that's so good. It helps somehow.
So here's another crushing, and crushing for fragrance. We've got Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 to 38. Philip, would you read that?
The Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, Stekte.
Onycha?
Pardon? Maybe I should let you read these three.
Okay.
Onycha and Gabbanum. The spices and pure frankincense are to be in equal measures. Prepare expertly blended incense from these. It is to be seasoned with salt, pure and holy. Grind some of it into a fine powder and put some in front of the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It must be especially holy to you. As for the incense you are making, you must not make any for yourselves using its formula. It is to be regarded by you as holy, belonging to the Lord. Anyone who makes something like it to smell its fragrance must be cut off from his people. No counterfeits.
Oh, exactly. Ooh. And you can't copy it to use it on yourself.
Yeah.
This is God's fragrance. And I won't take time to teach about what each of those different spices means or elements means, but the point is that it has to be crushed. It has to be crushed. It has to be ground into powder, and it has to be all mixed up. All these different things have to be mixed together.
Yes.
And sometimes we're going through those crushings and mixings, but in order for it to produce the fragrance that it's meant to produce, it also has to be put on the fire. Think about the things you're going through. They are for your perfecting. They are for making you into a fragrance of the Lord, a beautiful fragrance that brings him glory and it makes him smile and it makes him happy. When in the midst of our trial and trouble, we say, thank you, Jesus. I trust you. I trust you. That's the beauty of it. And this idea of this this word in the Hebrew that is for crushing is the word shachak. And it means to wear down or to wear away or to wear out, like the erosion of stones by water. Okay? It's amazing to me how something as hard as a stone, you go into a creek bed or a river bed, and you find these beautifully smooth stones. And that's why David went down to the creek to find a smooth stone, because it's been eroded by water. It's been smoothed out by water.
And they fly real good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Try to skip them across water.
Yeah, you do really well with that. I can only get a couple of skips, but you can make them go flying across the river. Anyway, that smoothness, it's amazing. Something as hard as a rock can be smoothed by something as soft
as water. Yeah.
And the more we submit to the water of the word in our lives, the more he can smooth us out with that rather than having to put us in the fire and crush us.
You know, growing up in Chicago, we go along the beaches. And there's one they called the Rock Street Beach.
Oh, really?
And had these big rocks.
Oh, yeah.
And we would climb down into the rocks, you know, and the way water would go and wash in there. And you could find like broken 7-Up bottles, you know, because of that color. It would take the broken glass and it would shine it. It'd be a dull, kind of like a diamond, you know. The diamond, it's not shiny when you look at it. It has to be polished.
Yeah.
But it took the sand.
Yeah.
It took all the sharp edges off of it.
That's right.
And you have these beautiful pieces of glass that the water, it's the water what did it. Water used in the sand, it just made it smooth where it wouldn't cut or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what God is doing in our lives when he's putting us in the floods, when he's putting us through things. It's for our perfecting. It is a good thing.
It's making it smooth for you.
Exactly, exactly. So these ingredients were crushed into fine powder, mixed together, and the fragrance was released with the fire. So all of these crushings, we just have to trust that it's our Father at work in making us beautiful. We wouldn't think that this is a beautifying process, but it is. And, you know, think back about Esther. She had to spend 6 months being soaked in myrrh. Myrrh is one of the things she was soaked in. And myrrh means bitterness. So there are bitter things that we go through that are for our beautification. We have to receive it from the Lord. And when we receive it from the Lord, that's when the fragrance begins to go forward. And I think the sooner we get to that point, the sooner we'll get out of the crushing. So here's another thing. Olives are crushed, right? You want olive oil.
Yeah.
And you use it for food. And like the third or fourth crushing is used for light. And probably the temple oil was probably an earlier crushing, I think.
But I don't squeeze.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just another thing that's crushed. And then you have when you harvest grain, you get the wheat, and it's all in the heads on the wheat stalk, and you have to crush that in order to get the husk off of it, the chaff. So there's a crushing that has to happen in order for food. Yeah, in order to get your food, you have to do this crushing. In order for us to become food for the nations, you know, will you be poured out as wine for the Lord? Will you be beaten into flour to make bread to feed the hungry? Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to go through this crushing? Because, you know, if you don't get the husk off, I mean, have you had bread that has a piece of husk in it?
Yeah,
you know, every now and then.
It caught in your teeth.
Yeah. It's not pleasant. It's not meant to be in your bread. So there's also an offering in Leviticus 2:14. It says, if you present a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, you are to present fresh heads of grain, crushed kernels, roasted on the fire for your grain offering of first fruits.
Roasted.
Yeah, crushed and roasted.
It was like the
that'll
song
preach,
Sister Gwen wrote years ago. It was called, When He Has Tried Me, I'll Come Forth as Gold.
Yes.
And when we had our wreck, and we just, it's like the dark night of the soul. And
yeah.
I kind of changed the words for a while, when he has fried me, you know, because that's what it felt like, you know, just like it had been really roasted, because it's just like, sometimes all your dreams and things seemed like they were so far away, and how can that ever happen now?
Yeah.
But God used it for his glory.
Yeah, and we got there. We did get out of that trial.
We survived, and we didn't get bitter over it.
Yeah, that's right. So Psalm 34:18 fits right here. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. We were crushed. Yeah. We were crushed by that accident.
Yeah.
You know, I remember we were like 5 weeks at my sister's, and I don't remember how far into the process it was before we left, that one day I found myself singing or humming or whistling. I'm not sure which it was. Because usually I have a song going in my head, going in my spirit. I'm either humming or singing or whistling, or it's just in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I suddenly realized at that moment, oh, I got my song back. I didn't even know I'd lost it. It was the crushing.
Yeah.
And there are crushings that we go through. It's for our good. There are good things that came out of that. And it's kind of like Jacob with his limp. You know, mm-hmm. when he wrestled with the angel before he met his brother. He's about to meet his brother. He thinks his brother's going to kill him. So he goes to his brother limping.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it probably helped his brother have a little compassion on him. Oh, well, he's not the tough guy that I thought he was going to be. Here he is limping and he's falling down on his face in front of me. I guess I can forgive him, you know?
Yeah.
So God is doing these crushings in us, but he's also, in the process, he's crushing our enemies. Psalm 68:21 says, surely God crushes the heads of his enemies, the hairy brow of one who goes on in his guilty acts. God is in the crushing business,
mm-hmm.
and he's not only crushing us for our good, he's willing to take our enemies out as well.
Yeah.
And Psalm 89:23 says, I will crush his foes before him and strike those who hate him. So that brings us back to our first verse where we started, Romans 16:20. And this is from the Christian Standard Bible, which we've been using in this podcast. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And that's really what it's all about. That he gives us the grace.
Mm-hmm.
As he gives us grace to say thank you, Jesus, when we're throwing up, or to say thank you, Jesus, when we're in pain, or to say thank you, Jesus, when we're just barely able to put one foot in front of the other, or maybe we're bedridden,
mm-hmm.
and to just keep saying, Jesus, my Savior, you are the one I'm reaching out to because I need you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being crushed right now. And that reaching out to him, that saying his name is a fragrance that fills the room with his presence. And he really wants us to understand this idea of when he has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. That's from Job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to end this episode with a recording that we made of that song. I just feel like, well, this will help you, listener, to understand that when you've been tried, when you've been crushed, what's really going on is the activity of the flesh or the activity of the devil against you that's being crushed. You're feeling the crushing. You're feeling the fire. You're feeling the flood. You're feeling the washing and the washing and the washing and the smoothing of the stone. God is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it for our good. When he's tried me, I will come forth as gold.
When he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. The fires of affliction will not harm my soul. I know that God loves me, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as pure gold.
My life has a goal. that your purposes are good for us.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the podcasting platform suggest this podcast to other listeners who are also looking for a great move of the Holy Spirit. Check out our website at globaloutpouring.org to find out more information, read our blogs, connect with us, and donate. You can also browse our web store for life-changing anointed books. Until next time, this is Sharon Buss.
And I'm Philip Buss.
God bless you with His overwhelming, loving presence.